Hello, my creative friends. I'm Leanne. Welcome to another episode of the Creative Diaries podcast. My favourite quote is a quote by Elizabeth Gilbert that says, "When you open the door to creativity, you open the door to magic." I truly live by this, and every day I strive to step through that door, exploring the boundless world of creativity that lies beyond. So whether you're well-versed in the creative world or just taking your first steps, join me as we uncover the magic that fuels our creativity together. Ready to let the magic in? Let's dive right in. Well, it's been a very different kind of year. 2020 has brought all kinds of ups and downs and challenges for many people, I'm sure, including every listener to the podcast. I know it's been a challenge for me in different ways too. And I can't believe I'm finally rounding off the year with this final podcast episode, number 30, would you believe? Turns out to be the perfect number to conclude the year after a year of, or just over a year, of podcast episodes with myself and amazing guests. I would love to take the time right now to thank every single guest who has taken the time to sit down and have a coffee with me and have a chat about all things creative, life, people, community, which is all what this podcast is about. It's about inspiring your world to make a difference. And as a small business owner, I've been really encouraged and inspired and challenged by each and every chat I've had over this last 30 episodes. I hope that you have enjoyed this podcast, and I would like to take the time to thank you for listening and tuning in and subscribing over this year. Hi, Charlotte, and welcome to the podcast. It's so lovely to have you today.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's really great to be here. Very exciting being on podcast.
I am so excited because I've been planning this for a little while. I think we've been speaking for a little while. Thought before we get into today, just to maybe explain to some of the audience who may or may not know you just a little bit about yourself and your background.
My name is Charlotte. I have been working at OUP for 2.5 years now. I've very recently moved into a new role. As a marketing campaign manager. I had to remember my title then in the education division, but before that I spent most of my time in academic marketing, and alongside that I spent a lot of time with the SYP and volunteering and all that jazz.
Congratulations on the new role. So nice to hear.
Thank you. It's definitely a tricky time for getting a job. But thank you.
I know. I can only imagine. I've been working from home now since March, so a whole different kind of year, I think, in many levels.
And I think today we got the email saying that it's going to be until at least April that we're going to be like this, which is crazy, over a year at home.
That is actually not imaginable until this year.
I thought it was going to be 3 weeks in March. I was like, oh, it'll just be, 3 weeks and we'll be fine.
I know. Yeah, so close to Christmas as well.
I know. I don't know what's going to happen with Christmas dinner. I just don't know.
Well, I've had my Christmas tree up since for about 2 weeks now. Just, Christmas tunes on. I'm just embracing the hot chocolate and Christmas season.
No, I'm the exact same.
It's actually made quite a difference, I have to say. With working from home, you kind of feel like you're in the Starbucks with the jazz on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. I know what you mean. It just feels nice and warm, doesn't it? It's nice putting the Christmas lights on. Our whole estate is like Christmas 100% now for the past 2 weeks. So, I was kind of nagging my boyfriend for weeks, like, can we put the Christmas tree on? He's like, November. And I said, yeah, but, it's 2020, so the rules don't apply.
Not at all. Anything goes, I think, at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought we'd kick in today and just chat a little bit about one of my favourite new finds this year and the hobbies, I guess, Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. I know you said there was a period where it was quite quiet for you, but I just thought, I wondered, with it taking such a hold over the summer and everyone having so much free time, I think it helped me personally through that first lockdown period. And I wonder just your story, because I noticed through your tweets that you also play the game, and how you got into it.
I used to play Animal Crossing. Gosh, it must have been what? It must be more than 10 years actually. When it was out on the DS, I used to have a pink DS, and I would play it on that. When it like was it? I can't remember what it was called, the version then. But there used to be that guy that would shout at you if you didn't save it, you know, before you shut your DS down. I don't know if you had it. He would shout at you.
I think the last one was a Game Boy Advance I had.
Oh, okay.
So I might have missed a DS and I came back this year at the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, that's what I did, because we had a Switch anyway, which I never really used. It was more my father's thing. But when I saw Animal Crossing was coming back, I was like, "Oh my gosh, Animal Crossing!" And it was really exciting to play it again. And I loved how you could like change the whole island. That was
Yeah.
really cool, and get into all the demolition and stuff like that. But then, you know, I was obsessed with it for a while. But then, as soon as you miss one day, that's it. All your weeds are there, and you just think, I can't face it anymore. The
It really is. So much has changed. And confession though, I have actually not been on it for a couple of weeks now, just with deadlines and things.
admin.
And it is my goal to get on today because, again, it's Thanksgiving, so they're
Oh
having
yeah.
turkey.
Yeah. I haven't played it since they brought out the you could go diving and swimming, and I heard there was pumpkins and everything, and I thought, oh damn, I should have kept it up, but I can't face the mess that my island is going to be at the moment.
That's fair enough. I started with the good intentions, but I feel like it is one of those things that I'll go back to when I need it.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Have you picked up any other particular hobbies this year, with it being quite a different kind of year?
I mean, I did more baking than usual, like everyone in the world, when I could get my hands on flour. That was like gold dust. Other than that, I'm trying to think. I mean, I always kind of liked running, but when we were in full lockdown, that was basically all I could do. So
Yeah.
I would go and do that nice run when it was sunny as well. So that was good. Other than that, I mean, I did eventually start going to the gym again and going to classes, which was quite fun. But then they took that away from us, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago?
I mean, at this point, I am back at the drawing board. Like, I actually started, you believe it or not, this is quite random, but I started collecting Pokemon cards again.
Oh, did you? Oh, cool. You can't go to the shops to get them.
Well, you can do click and collect.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You have a designated place at the
Mm.
door.
Yeah, I think I want to try. I'm not sure if I want to do knitting or crochet next, but I just told my dad, and he was like, "Oh, can't wait to get a jumper for my birthday." I was like, "You'll be lucky. It'll probably be a scarf, and then I'll forget all about it."
I usually get, funny enough, I usually get my dad like some mugs with pictures on it or something like that, something random. I run out of ideas.
Yeah.
Have you started your Christmas shopping yet?
Yeah, I've nearly finished it. Yeah. I know. I just thought, oh, just get it done, basically. Yeah, all I've got left to do is just kind of do a stocking for my partner. And then just stocking fillers, I suppose you'd call it, for my dad's foster kids. I'm just gonna get them a few bits when I can go to B&M again. What about you?
I haven't started. I was like, have I? No.
No.
I had all the intention, and I've had my partner's birthday just gone, and then I've got my mum and dad's birthday in December as well.
Oh wow.
It happens every year, Charlotte. It should be no surprise to me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it is every year.
But it somehow is. So I'm on it, I'm working on it. I should hopefully. I mean, I can't believe it's literally December next week.
No, I'm putting meetings in the calendar. I'm like, December, that's not right. I must have clicked the wrong month. Crazy. I just blinked and the year went.
No, it must be the fastest year in record.
Today we've done nothing.
I have to say, yeah, it's been good for me in some ways, actually, in terms of discipline and getting personal projects done and sitting down and, you know, working on the podcast and different things, but it's definitely been an interesting one.
I just wonder how we're all going to have time to do these things when the world goes back to normal. You know what I mean? What am I going to do when I'm commuting again?
That's a very good question, because I'm now thinking about the amount of Netflix series that I've managed to complete. What would it be like like trying to catch up on various shows? Whenever that happens, actually, I'm still waiting on about three.
Oh, are you?
Well, yeah, they were meant to come back at some point this year, probably delayed until next year. Who knows?
Oh, I was just relieved that The Crown still had its season when it came out this year. Please don't delay The Crown.
Was there no gaps? Because was it quite continuous?
No, I don't think so. I think it was fine. I think they've brought one out every year, I think. So I was just relieved.
And to think, again, this is quite random, typical of me, but to think this was the year where they were rationing out EastEnders episodes.
I know. That's crazy, isn't it? I think they still are, aren't they?
Possibly. I haven't watched it properly in a while. I know I watch it when I visit family members.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So I couldn't have you on the podcast and not ask you about books since we were. I know that some people have managed to use the time to catch up and read loads more books. Someone who works in publishing and passionate about books, I love to check out a good bookshelf, and I have about three at home. So I just wondered, what's your bookshelf like, and do you recommend any particularly good books or even podcasts? If we go on that.
Yeah, I mean, my bookshelves throughout my house are different depending which room you're in and if they were set up to look cute or not. So downstairs, people will often say, oh, where did you get your books from? They're really nice. I'm like, I mean, they're just my books. What do you mean? They're from Waterstones. But because they're like pretty hardback editions that I'll keep downstairs. And then upstairs, I've got all the stuff I've read, and then I've got a massive to-be-read pile. Like, I don't know why I do this. I go through phases of just buying and buying and buying books and then forgetting they exist. But I've been quite good. I've managed to get quite a bit read this year. Not as much as normal. I think my Goodreads target was 80 for the year, and I think I've read about 60, so I don't think it's going to happen. But
that's pretty impressive, though, considering.
I think, yeah.
For me?
I think this year I've been more aware of, I'm not really into this book, and just pop it off. Whereas before I was I need to get at least halfway before I give up, or I need to finish it, I've come this far, and I just think, why? I don't want to waste my life reading books that are rubbish.
So if you start a book and it's not grabbed you, would you keep going or would you give up, go for a new one?
I'll give it a week or two and I'll see how many times I pick it up. I mean, it also depends on the kind of book, because at the moment I'm reading Barack Obama's memoir, and that is, it's not grabbing me. But I want to keep reading it, I think. It's just about 900 pages, though.
We'll keep you busy for a while.
Yeah, volume one. No, that's been quite enjoyable. I'm trying to think what other books that I've enjoyed. I've kind of been rereading a few classics and listening to the audiobooks, Jane Austen and things like that, just for going to sleep. I like to do things like that. I've been reading a lot of non-fiction this year as well, actually. I think I just didn't have the patience for fiction to start with. Yeah, a lot of things like The Heartland by, is it Nathan Filer or Filer or Flyer? I can't remember which way around it. He also did, what was the other one he did? The Shock of the Fall, which you might have heard of.
That rings a bell.
Yeah, so I've been reading a lot of stuff by him. I've read all his stuff. And yeah, The Heartland was good. Things like that, like medical non-fiction thing I've been into. And Stephen King as well, which I always, for some reason, refused to read, and this year I was just hooked completely.
Have you got a favourite book of his?
I think so far it's probably Bag of Bones, but then The Shining was also good. I thought, oh, it's probably going to be overrated, and it did take me a while to get into it, but once I was in it, it was like 300 pages just whizzed by.
See, I love listening to him when he's talking about writing and you know,
yeah,
his theory on that. And I haven't read his books yet because I think I'm a little bit of a wuss, I guess, when it comes to like his kind of books. But I think he's a fantastic writer. From the little that I have read and from listening to him talk about his craft.
Yeah.
But I know that it's one that people, you know, a lot of people feel it maybe a bit intimidated about where to start because he has so many. So it's really interesting to hear, you know, it's a good book to start. Maybe one day I'll actually pick it up and just give it a go. I think I should.
Yeah. I mean, some of them aren't that scary or gory. You know, like The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon, that's not that scary or gory. Is it the scary or the gory that you don't like? Or both?
Gory.
Okay. Yeah, things like that are okay. And Carrie as well, that's not that gory. Maybe it is, I don't know. But I like Thor and things like that, so I love gore.
But yeah, that's the beauty of just having so many different genres and options and choices for everyone. I'm sure there'll be loads of people listening in who also love the scary and the gore. So I love to hear what, I just love seeing and hearing what is on people's bookshelves.
What kind of thing do you normally read?
Normally, my go-to is probably non-fiction, actually. I love reading business, thought leadership, marketing. I don't know why. I do. But I also love romantic comedies in terms of fiction.
Yeah,
I know that's really. Which my dad and I have quite different tastes and he frowns on. But I love, actually, Nora Ephron. Nora Ephron wrote... why have I just lost the title? But about my neck.
Three things about... Oh, I Feel Bad About My Neck.
Yeah.
Yes, I read her essays recently.
Love our stuff.
Yeah.
So I do expand into different kind of areas. It's not just, you know, I don't know, Jill Mantle or Lucy Diamond or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I do like those kind of reads. Do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
I do, yeah. I feel like... Recently, I've not listened to that many because I used to obviously listen to them on my commute. So now I'll kind of only listen to them if I'm taking the dogs for a walk. If I'm not listening to an audiobook. My favourites are, what's it called? The High Low. That's my favourite, one of my favourites, with Dolly Alderton and Pandora Sykes.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That. my boyfriend, I think all men just think, what is this? Why do you like this? He just comes in and, you know, one minute they're talking about really highbrow stuff and the next minute they're, I don't know, talking about a meme and laughing at it for ages and he's just like, what the hell is this? but I love it. And I also love Shagged, Married, Annoyed with Chris Ramsey and his wife, Rosie Ramsey.
I think I've heard one or two of those episodes. I love it. I think it's escapism for me. A good way just to switch off and listen.
You listen to a lot still.
I do. I listen to quite... different at the moment. I'm listening to a podcast called Right Now by Sarah Werner. Her name's Werner, not Werner. And she has a great podcast for writers, and it's talking about different aspects of being a writer and stuff, which I thought was quite interesting.
I think I've seen that actually. I think I'm really bad for favouriting and subscribing to podcasts that look cool and then never actually listening to them.
Yeah,
I've got so many episodes downloaded on my phone and I'm like, what is this?
I've had so many troubles this week with Apple and getting space on my disk because apparently there's many files.
Yeah.
So I've had to delete so many podcasts and then just hopefully find them again. But yeah, do you have a favourite book or author of all time?
Gosh, I feel like that's so hard. I've got a full arm of tattoos of my favourite books. I feel like I could never pick one. And even then, I'm like, the arm is not big enough. There are so many more that I would love to add to it. I don't know. I mean, Clockwork Orange, every time I read it, I love it.
Classic.
So maybe that one. I don't know. But then I also really love Sarah Waters as well, any of her books. So maybe she's my favourite. I don't know. I have to be in the mood, though.
That's a fair point. I don't know why I ask people historical?
Are you into historical fiction?
No, I'm curious. I find myself a bit of a dabbler and curious about different subjects and I dip in and out of them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not into, is it Hilary Mantel and things like that? That kind of dry historical fiction. I feel like Sarah Waters is a bit darker, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know why I like her so much.
Sometimes there's not an answer. You just click with a style or a certain type of storyline. I'm actually a sucker for a good book cover. If I like the book, I'm sold.
Yeah, the other day we were at Garden Centre with my parents and saw this beautiful edition of Jane Eyre. And my mum was like, oh, I'll buy it for you. Have you read it? I was like, of course I've read it like 5 times, but it's beautiful. She bought it for me. And I was like, oh, I'm going to put it next to the TV under my candle. She's like, you're not going to read it? I was like, mum, it's got gold pages. No, I'm not going to read it. So pretty.
Have you seen the Penguin covers of the classic collection?
Yeah, they're nice, aren't they?
Oh, I think I've got a couple of the softback, but I do like the hardbacks.
Yeah, I saw a picture on Twitter of someone that had like the whole collection and I just had to stare at the picture for quite a while because it was just so pretty.
I always stare at them when I go into Waterstones. Every time I go anywhere near a shop in a new town, I find myself gravitating towards the Waterstones.
Yeah, that's what I do. When we moved here, I was like, it's got the Waterstones, I can't believe it.
I have this, I started recording a vlog while I was in lockdown. And I've noticed that whenever I'm vlogging or I record a vlog through editing, there's been about 10 different bookstores. That's when I realised I had an issue.
I think if I did a vlog, it would literally just be, here I am waking up, here I am with my dog, here I am reading a book, here I am at a bookshop, here I am going to bed.
Yeah, that's pretty much me. In fact, mine is pretty much, here I am at the beach, here I am at the beach. I just like going to Bournemouth, here I am at the bookstore. In fact, this week's, I think it's, here I am on a hill. It's going on.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the process. It's the creativity and the editing and that stuff that I enjoy, Charlotte. But all the things we do. I was going to say, in terms of career stories, I've cut that bit. I was going to say, I don't know how to start this. So I feel like there's a few perceptions and myths around publishing, having been on that end and having come from working as freelance in different industries to want to make my way into publishing. And so I know there's been quite a chat around social media and campaigns to help people get into publishing, make it more accessible. That's a long-winded way to say and ask, what are one of the common myths about publishing that you would love to debunk?
I think the issue with inclusivity and diversity and making the industry more accessible has been a topic of conversation since before I even knew I wanted to be in publishing. And I think it's always kind of known as this thing that's impossible to get to, but actually it's not. I think people in the industry are so friendly and everybody wants everyone who's passionate to be in the industry that I think as soon as you start meeting people, you realise that everybody just wants to help you and that it is easier than you think. I know that at the moment it's especially hard because obviously it's impossible to get jobs because everybody's looking for jobs. But I do think as an industry, it's doing more to become a bit more accessible, with like offices opening in the north and stuff like that. And I suppose that's a very long way of me saying that I think people think that to be in publishing, you have to be a certain thing or look a certain way or talk a certain way, which is what I thought. And I was nervous about, I think when I joined OUP, I had purple hair and tattoos and a northern accent, and I just thought, oh god, I'm just gonna stick out like a sore thumb. They're gonna know I'm a fake, they're gonna kick me out. But that never happened. And the more and more people that you speak to, they just don't see things like that. And I think it's just not as stuffy, I suppose is the right word, as you think. Everybody just wants to get along and everyone's here for the same reason as you.
That's a really useful and helpful explanation, because I know when I was starting out and trying to kind of make my way into publishing, that would have really helped ease my nerves and help me kind of see, because I remember standing outside of the London Book Fair club and I asked someone who was coming out randomly just for some advice, because I had tried to apply through various recruitment companies, various companies, and of course you know it takes time sometimes and it just wasn't happening. And she had said that you needed to do kind of work experience, but of course being pretty much in my late 20s in London on my own, I really couldn't afford to do that, so it was kind of a different kind of journey. But I have to say, I agree wholeheartedly with what you said, having now somehow managed to land a job in a social media department in a publishing company. But yeah, I'd say, to be honest, I still probably feel like a bit of an imposter. I wondered, what is one thing you wish you would have known beginning of your career that you know now?
That's such a hard question. I think probably I wish I'd known that people don't care how many questions you ask, and no matter how much you think you don't know what you're doing, you do. other people know you're capable of things that you don't even know you're capable of yourself. And I think I just wish I'd known to just trust myself and to ask questions, because nobody cares. Have you honestly ever been annoyed that someone asked you a question?
It's a good point. Very good point. I actually wanted to ask a follow-up question from that as well, if I can. If you were in a publishing role and you wanted to move on, I know that sometimes, especially in this climate, that might be a challenge. And then, you know, especially if you feel like your role has kind of maxed its opportunity, if it were. Being in a new role at the moment, is there anything that you've learnt lately or that's come to mind that's quite fresh in your mind to help perhaps encourage someone else who may be still trying to figure out where they should go and how to make that next step?
I think a lot of the time when I was having interviews for new roles, a lot of the value that I was bringing was the things outside of work. So you might think that you've gotten everything you can out of your current role, but look at what you do alongside work. Maybe it's charity commitment, maybe it's volunteering, maybe you write a blog, maybe you're good at social media. I feel like all of those things are probably more important than what you get paid to do, because it shows what you're passionate about.
Are you still part of the Young Society of Publishers, SYP?
Not anymore. So I was, how old was I? I must have been 18 or 19. No, it would have been 19 because I was at university. I was with SYP North doing the communication for them. And then when I moved to Oxford, I joined the SYP again. And that was the year that the conference was in Oxford. So I was helping to plan the conference. And then I was also kind of making sure things are inclusive and as diverse as possible when it came to all of our events. And since then, I mean, I've always been involved, I suppose. You know, I'm always sharing things and going to events, and, you know, I'll sometimes go to events, and if there are people there that are wanting help, I'll just offer out my email or my Twitter handle and say, just DM me. Like, there are quite a few people now that will just DM me if they've got a job interview coming up or they're applying for a role at OUP, and I just think, gosh, if I can give one bit of helpful advice to people right now,
yeah,
then that's good.
That's so amazing, because it's that connection and that kind of friendship that you know people really value, and being able to just learn from people who are maybe already a bit further along in the journey.
So good for anyone in the industry or thinking about getting in the industry, or even just to meet people who love books. It's such a great organisation.
For any of our listeners who love to stay in touch with you, Charlotte, what's the best way for them to do that?
I mean, probably by Twitter. My handle is ccrouch1996. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, I guess, if you want to be official. I think Twitter's probably the best way. Like I say, you know, my DMs are always open. So if you do want to talk books or anything that you think maybe I can help you with, maybe you just want to know what I do, then please feel free to message me. I will never send you away.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. And before you go, I also wanted to check one last question.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favourite Christmas film?
I think it's probably Miracle on 34th Street. Such a classic.
It is.
Is that yours too?
Yes. My favourite film is probably similar to your answer around books. I would have about 10.
Yeah. Yeah. I love The Grinch as well.
Oh, The Grinch is... and The Holiday. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, God, there's so many good ones.
Oh, there's a new one called The Holiday that I keep talking about because it's so good.
Is it on Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I saw that and I said, Sam, oh my gosh, we need to watch this. He was like, I'm not watching that. I was like, but it looks so bad that it's going to be good.
It is that kind of trailer.
Yeah. They're the best kind of Christmas film, where you know what's going to happen from the get-go, but or you could nap halfway through but not have missed anything.
Yeah. I made my boyfriend actually watch it, and he said the same thing when he watched the trailer, and then by the end of it he was like, that was actually a good movie. Thank you so much for coming on today, Charlotte, and I hope that you'll come back again one day.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's it for another episode of the Creative Diaries podcast. Thank you for taking the time to sit with us today. If you enjoyed this, please do share, tag a friend, and let us know what you think. Until next time, keep creating.